Transformation is our series, and I'm very excited to just get back into it. I think, but it's been so cool. I'm feeling under pressure. Man, there's so many good preachers in this church, is it? I'm under pressure. We had, thank you for the sympathy. So let me run through. I just want to do a little quick recap of where we've come to, because it's been spread out and there's been a lot of truth communicated, and it's no trouble for me to say the same thing to you because Paul said that's a safeguard. So I just want to recap very briefly on where we've come to in the last 4 weeks. The first week really spoke about how the Holy Spirit often invites us, offers us opportunities to partner with His passionate pursuit of people. Understand, God has a passionate pursuit of people. The Holy Spirit is here on the earth right now under mission. Jesus and the Father sent Him. He said, He will testify about me. The Holy Spirit's here. He's faithful to the mission that He's on. He's passionately pursuing people, all people, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I used to be all three of those. Holy Spirit is about this, and He loves to offer you, hey, come partner with me. I'm pursuing this person. Come. Now, the pressure is not on us. And I hope, out of the first week, I hope that's what you got. I hope that's all you got. Holy Spirit wants to partner with you because He's passionately pursuing people, but He doesn't put the pressure on you. And so we spoke about how the fact that both Jesus and the Holy Spirit were sent, but neither of them was given the freedom to just say what they wanted. They were under orders. Jesus said, I only say what the Father says. And Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will only say what I tell Him to say. So if both Jesus and the Holy Spirit who were sent, Jesus was sent by the Father, the Holy Spirit sent by the Son, the church is sent by the Spirit, if that's the way it works, then why do I assume that I need to do anything but what the Holy Spirit tells me to do? Pressure's off me. I'm relaxed. I'm going out there being nice to people, loving people, and doing whatever the Holy Spirit tells me to do. And so it's not on us, but we can participate in this adventure. That's what we spoke about. And then we realized that evangelism is just responding to the Holy Spirit amongst those who do not yet believe. That's all evangelism is. Just responding. Now, second week, Leif Hetland came, and he really spoke about this one issue. And I think if you heard this one thing, this would be helpful to you, that God wants to unleash a goodness revolution from Northlands. But first, we must experience it. Did you hear that? God wants to unleash in our city and in our world a goodness revolution. He wants to tell the world, hey, I'm good. And He wants to do it through us. But you can't teach what you don't know. So He wants you to get it. Psalm 34 doesn't say, understand that the Lord is good. It says, taste and see. The Lord is good. 1 Peter says, grow up in your salvation. Now, foundational stone, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. And so Leif said, God is about to start a goodness revolution. And then he said, honor is what love looks like. And he said, I just want to go show people a God that looks like Jesus. Because Jesus kept walking around. People said, would you heal me? He said, sure. And then he said, you only have authority over what you love, which is very cool. And then the third week, Dion picked up on what that kind of prophetic thing the Lord was speaking to us. And Dion said, "This settle on this fact that God is always good." And he spoke about God's goodness. The Christos means pleasant and helpful. Say, Greg, if you're defining evangelism as responding to the Holy Spirit amongst unbelievers, yes. And what do I do if I don't know what the Holy Spirit is doing? Be pleasant and helpful. Walk in the goodness of God. Wow, I can't hear the Lord's voice. What should I be? Be kind. Love people. But they're accursed, they're under the wrath of God. Yes, and He gave you the anointing to declare no more wrath for you. That was a truth that should have caught you right here, and it went bing, bing. Some of you. Dion said, let's go out and give people a taste of grace. I can't hear God's voice. Well, then just go give them a taste of grace. But what, you know, isn't it my job to point out their sin? No. Your job is to proclaim Jubilee. You don't have to have a bad past to have a good story. I like that. And share your story about his goodness. That's what Dion talked. And then last week, Tom talked about you're empowered to do this. You. He reminded us we've been invited into the partnership. He spoke about the reality that we're empowered. And he said it is possible. A simple response to the Holy Spirit can produce massive transformation in others. I love that. A simple response from me or you can produce a massive transformation in others. And I love that you just hand a CD or just do the thing or speak what the Lord's telling you to speak. A simple response from us has the potential for massive transformation. Why would we not respond all the time? And I loved him. Tom kept saying, turn to somebody and say, I can do that. I can do that. So this week, now you caught up. I said, wow, we didn't have to come the last 4 weeks. We could have just. I want to preach this morning on a sermon entitled Always Prepared. And I know the Boy Scouts, they stole it from 1 Peter. 1 Peter says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. That always be prepared. Just have a look at that. That always be prepared. That's something the Lord says to each one of us. Okay. Now, if I was to ask you, just simply, are you prepared? Because it says always be prepared. So you and I need to always be ready to do something. Always be prepared to give an answer to everybody who asks you. That's interesting to me because people then infers that people will be asking us. Asking us about what? What piques their interest? Why are they asking questions? For the reason, for the hope that you have. Of all the people on the earth, you and I should be at least hopeful. Hello? Are you smoking your socks? Do you not understand how tough the times are? No, I get it. I also happen to know the God who lives with me. Yeah, I see the giant, but do you see my God? That's the whole deal right there. Yeah, I know. It's impressive army. Do you see my God? Army's not that impressive when you see God. Always be prepared. Always be prepared. And so this morning, I want to talk about how you and I can always be prepared. And hopefully, I can equip you with some very practical things that you can walk out of here this morning and go and try. Always be prepared. And then it says, but do this with gentleness and respect. What's that first part? Do this with gentleness and respect. Now, unfortunately, I have not always done it with gentleness and respect. See, I used to have a theology that said I was part of the church, the beloved and the chosen of God, and anybody who wasn't part of the church was under the wrath and judgment of God, and so it was my job to create separation between me and them in case some of their sin landed on me and I was going to be unclean. And so I constantly created separation between myself and worldly people because so I always lobbed kind of grenades. If you don't turn or burn, boom! See, didn't turn quick enough. And then I understood God's grace. Oh, and what a liberty that brought. What a liberty to me personally. And now what a liberty it brings to people because I see them in the midst and they bound up in sin and they blinded by the devil and they don't yet know what they ought to know. And I go, man, have I got good news for you. With gentleness and respect. See, I never respected unbelievers before. How could I? Unbelievers. What's due respect? Now I'm learning that grace allows me to present the gospel, the good news of God, with gentleness and respect. And you know what I'm discovering? People actually like me now. I never used to. I would walk out, put another notch on my New Testament. I witnessed about the Lord, and basically people hated me. It was obnoxious and judgmental. Secondly, keeping a clear conscience. Keeping a clear conscience. You know what that means? It means I don't have to say a single lie. I don't have to exaggerate. I don't have to put on anything. I don't have to make up anything. All I have to do is to tell people about the goodness that I myself have experienced. So let me tell you, let's break this down, if I can, into three things that I think are practically things that you can do and play with. And the more you play with them and the better you become, the more you prepare yourself in these three areas, I think the more effective you're going to become and settled you're going to become, because you can put me anywhere at any time and go, okay, be prepared, go. Give them the hope. Tell them the reason. I go, okay. And the first one I want to talk about is testimonies. Testimonies. Your testimony, my testimony, anybody's testimony. David said this, Psalm 119:99, he put two scriptures there. One was, I have more insight than all of my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. David said, the things that God has accomplished in my life, I take them and I meditate on them. And he said, because I meditate on the things that God has already done in my life, I have more wisdom, I have more insight than everybody's trying to teach me, because I've taken the time to think through and meditate on what God has done in my life already. See, there is more nutrient in the works of God in your life than actually what they performed. There is a richness of nutrient, of understanding, of revelation of who God is that is bound up in every time God moves in your life. And if you'll meditate on what God did for you, suddenly that flows into your life. Are you with me? If you meditate, if you keep the testimonies, if you remember what God did for you, suddenly it opens up. This is who He is. This is what He likes to do. This is how God acts in my life. Suddenly you start to understand these things. You get insight. Wow, God really likes this. That provokes me, because I go, God, you did. Remember when we went there? Remember when you did that? Can we do it again? Let's do that again. Many, many times, Michelle, most often it's Michelle, because she's such a generous, she goes, hey, I feel like the Lord says we should give money to them. I go, okay, babe, because I trust now. One is, I trust the generous heart, and two is, I never mess with a prophet, right? This is my rule of thumb. Okay, let's go. And then we sow the money, and then the Lord provide, you know, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, gets poured back into our lap. So many times. And the more I meditate on those testimonies, the more free I become to, when the Lord says, do you think we should? I go, absolutely. How much do you want to give? If you'll meditate on the testimonies, on the works that God has done in your life already, the things He's done for you, don't even worry about any of the spiritual people, the really guru. Just you and me, ordinary people like us. Just meditate on what God's done for you already in your life. If you'll keep those testimonies, if you'll meditate on them, you'll have more insight. I'm going, ooh, I could preach for long. Sorry, I'm rushing. Second thing David said is, your testimonies I have taken as my heritage forever. For they are the rejoicing of my heart. I've taken your testimonies as my heritage. My children and my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren can drink of the nutrient that God has done in my life. Your testimonies I have taken as a heritage. And this is what Psalm 78 says. He says, I command you to tell these testimonies testimonies, the works that I've done, I command you to tell them to the next generation so that they can tell them to the next generation so that you will not forget. Forgetfulness of what God moved prior is a bad thing because testimonies fundamentally, primarily do two things. They reveal God and they create expectations. And so if you will meditate and treasure the testimonies that God has already done in your life, they will show you who He is and what He's like, and they will create, they'll govern expectations for you. I was in a meeting where a woman who was born blind in her late 20s came up out of the waters of baptism, and when she opened her eyes, God opened her eyes. I was in the meeting and she began to shout. I was there. My friend had baptisms where the Spirit of God began to fall as people came out of the water, and they were broke, came out of the water speaking in tongues. Many of them drunk. They appointed designated people to pull people out of the baptism water because they were so drunk in the Spirit. Okay. Now that may not be your experience, but that is my experience. And I cannot look at the waters of baptism without something tingling in my spirit. Maybe today we're going to see it again. Now, if you've never seen that, if you've never had those encounters at the baptism waters, for you, it's just a liturgical little something. For me, it's a possible power encounter right here. And so when I go to the waters of baptism, something in my heart of an expectation is created, and I'm going, ah, congratulations. Make sense? But the more I meditate on the testimonies that I've seen in my life, the more expectation is created in me. That's why I have hope. Give a reason for the hope. How do you get hope? I meditate on the testimonies. Now, you and I have to have these testimonies. In Psalm 78, in the great psalm that talks about how you're supposed to pass the testimonies down, there's this horrible scripture about the men of Ephraim who are renowned warriors. The men of Ephraim, though armed with bows, turned back on the day of battle. Why? They did not keep God's covenant and refused to live by His laws. They forgot what He had done, the wonders He had shown them. How could men equipped, skilled, valiant warriors standing on the battle line turn back and said, no, we're not ready for the battle? Because they forgot what God had done for them. They did not keep His testimonies. And friends, you and I have this reality in our life. If we're not diligent to keep the testimonies flowing in our own life, we withdraw from the battle because it looks too big. But you remember the last 40 or 50 times when you were outnumbered and you took them down and God stood with you, and you come to the battle line and there's more giants again, you go, they are in trouble today. But you forget the testimonies and you withdraw from battle. A battle that God intended you to win and to walk free from. When the church stops telling testimonies and starts policing rules, it drifts towards powerlessness in heaven and on earth. See, the enemy got something for the church. He said, stop meditating on the testimonies. No. What I want you to do, come over here. Let's put your focus on the morality of the world. Let's put your focus on the morality of people who are not born again, who have no power to resist sin, who are still sold as slaves to sin. Let's put the church's focus on their behavior and make that the big message from the church. You ought to live better. Hello? And what the church should have been doing is just going around telling people about how good God is. Let me tell you what He's done in my life. That's the message of the church. That's the thing God called you to do. Jesus said, it's not for you to know the times and dates the Father set by His own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be My witnesses. And then He was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid them from His sight. And then they stood there looking intently up into the sky. And suddenly two men stood among them and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking up into the sky? Well, Jesus went up in a cloud. Yeah, but He said, go and preach, and then I'll come back. Yeah, but He goes, why are you looking in the sky? Jesus went up here in a cloud. Yeah, but remember, just before he went, yeah, he said, you be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria. And then so if you stand here and you look in the clouds, you're not going to get to Jerusalem. And and so you and I are called to say what we saw. Explain what you experienced. Say what you saw. Explain what you experienced. Look, I don't know everything. I don't know who Noah's sons married. I don't know. I don't know all the details. But let me tell you what I do know. Last week when I was in pain and I cried out to the Lord in a remarkable space of time, he healed me. And I walked free. Now maybe that's not a big deal to you, but to me who was in pain and then I cried and then I was healed, that was beautiful. And I love him for that. That's my testimony. All I have to do is say what I saw, explain what I experienced. It's not hard. And I don't have to just go, well, because I got saved 35 years ago. I got a 35-year-old salvation testimony. Well, it was back in 60, you know, the earth's crust was still cooling, and, you know, I don't, that's not helpful. You don't have to. I mean, it's great to have a salvation testimony, but my salvation testimony, there are 15 different ways to tell it, different aspects to what was going on in my life. And I told it. There's three times in the book of Acts Paul tells his story, and they're all different. It's not hard. You know how you met the Lord. You know what he did. Just tell that story. Just don't make it boring. Keep it short, sweetheart. Say what you saw. Second thing is prayers. Keep the testimonies. And you have a testimony. I promise you. Go and try it out this week. Just, what's the last thing the Lord did in your life? Go and tell somebody who doesn't know him. Hey, let me tell you how good God is. Can I tell you? Just, this is where I was and this is what he did. Man, he's good. That's not hard. And all you have to do is say what you saw. Explain what you experienced. Number two, prayers, secret and public. You know, there are some secret prayers that need to be prayed. Where I come from in South Africa, there's a bush called a wait-a-minute bush, a Vagabiki bush. And it's this bush right here. Now, I don't have time to get into it, but it's got those thorns. You see the thorns there on the side? And a wait-a-minute bush is one of those things that if you walk near the bush and one of those thorns gets you, it pulls the whole branch. And so that thorn hooks you, and then you wake up, there's 15 thorns that have now attached. And so you like caught up, and then somebody has to come help you unpick the thorns out of your... In Zulu, they have a saying that says, come here and let me kiss you. That's what they call that tree. Now, the only to be spiritual now is that this is the same thing. It's this same species that they believe is the crown of thorns they put on Jesus. But if you walk near this bush, it'll hook you up. And you know the Bible says we walk among thorns and thistles in this world, the sin that so easily entangles. And sometimes when I walk past people, and sometimes no doubt when people walk past me, you can see they've got this, wait a minute, world got caught up. And sometimes it is very necessary in prayer for you to unpick the thorns that would sit with some people. I have a dear friend in ministry, a significant man of God, leading church of multiplied thousands. And I was ministering with him one day, and we were out, and the young girl came up, and she was just saying to him how she really appreciated his ministry. And I looked up, and I caught a glimpse in his heart, how he began to feed off that adulation. Just a glimpse. And I was so burdened for him. And I began to pray for him. And about twice a year now, for the last 15 years, the Holy Spirit reminds me, pray for your brother. I just take one of those thorns and I unhook it in prayer. And I've never felt a release from the Lord to go and speak to him about it. But there are people around us that get caught up, the thorns of the world, and sometimes we just need to pray for them. Lord, just keep them safe. Just unhook that. There are some prayers that you and I can pray for other people and for people we work with and for family members. Lord, could you just unhook them? Because the scripture says, if you see a brother or sister commit a sin that doesn't lead to death, you should pray and God will give them life. The God of this age, 2 Corinthians, has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see. So pray. Lord, unhook that blindness. Tear the shroud. Open the windows. Let some light in. And we spoke about, what should we pray for? Well, the apostolic prayers teach us that we should pray for open doors and clear speech and boldness. There are some things we're supposed to be praying for. See, here's a principle. Let me try and get this principle through. Jesus said in John 20 and 2 Corinthians 2, he said, if you forgive somebody, then they're forgiven. If you don't forgive them, they're not forgiven. And then in 2 Corinthians, Paul says, anybody you forgive, I also forgive. So there is a certain giving of authority to the church. It's not held by Jesus. He gave it to the church. And he said, now listen to this. If you forgive them, they will be forgiven. The authority, we think the authority is divested in heaven alone. No, Jesus came and gave it to the church. And he committed to the church the message of reconciliation. He goes, no, this is in your hands. Have you got it? Yeah. Now, if you forgive them, they're forgiven. Paul said, if you forgive them, it's done. Anybody you forgive, I forgive. You know what this means? That you and I have the authority. Jesus said, you can ask me for anything in my name. Anything in my name, and I'll do it. This means that you and I have the authority to go out and proclaim jubilee in prayer and in word to the world. Hey, the forgiveness of God is on your life and the favor of God is coming on you. Watch this. Let me pray for you. I know it's tough now, but I serve the God who loves you and his favor has come on you. Would you mind? I'm just going to pray for 10 seconds and I'm going to ask the God who loves you to just demonstrate his favor to you. Let me pray for you. It's not hard. Go and proclaim. I dare you. Go and tell people that God is good. And he wants to do them good. And he wants to bless their lives. Because I promise you, on the basis of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, that all the sin that you could ever notice on anybody's life has already been paid for at the cross. And so you can go out and boldly proclaim to them that there is freedom and forgiveness for them from God if they'll believe in Jesus. The goodness of God, the massive and abundant and overflowing goodness of God is available to you. And if you don't believe, that's okay, I do. I'll pray for you. Just hold my hand. We have the power to proclaim jubilee in prayer and word. Jesus found the place where to proclaim jubilee. They gave him the scroll to read, I don't want to read that. Scrolled through the scroll, found the place. And unrolling it, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus said, that's why I'm here, and today it starts. Until one guy in the back said, this is Jesus. These sisters are here. I dated his sister once. Thirdly, and I've got 4 minutes, scripture. You still with me? Yes. Practice your testimonies. It doesn't have to be deep and profound. You don't have to have dealt drugs. You just have to have not known Jesus, and now you do. Tell that story. And pray. And if you don't yet have the courage to pray with somebody, pray for them behind their backs. That's fine. I prayed for my friend for 15 years behind his back. And you know what? I don't care whether I ever speak to him about it. I'm happy to. If the Lord tells me to, I'll speak to him like that, lickety split. But I suspect that one day I'm going to be standing next to him in heaven, and we're going to be looking at his life, and he's going to see all the times the Lord protected him, and then he's going to see behind the scenes of how the Lord had me burden pray for him, and he's going to turn to me and hug me. And I'm going to have been honored to have done it. My honor. Holy Spirit wants to partner with you. He wants to partner with you at the minimum in prayer. If you're bold, in prayer in front of them. Thirdly, scriptures. As was his custom, Paul went into the synagogue for three Sabbaths and he reasoned with them from the scriptures. He, Apollos, vigorously refuted Jewish opponents in public debate, proving from the scriptures that Jesus was the Messiah. You say, you know, it's become unfashionable to quote scripture. You know? And I've found that unbelievers are quite intrigued by scriptures. They actually want to know what the Bible says. I never forget, we went on a cruise, Nicole was a tiny little girl, and she was sitting up front because there were dancers that came in and they had feathers and everything, and we were sitting right at the back and she was with a whole group of people, and then they went out and the magician came on and then the dancers came back, but they had less clothing on, and my wife started, you know, with puffy cheeks. And so then fortunately the dancers went off, and then the singer came on, and then the dancers came back on and they had less clothing on. And she was like, I'm not doing this. My daughter, because Nicole was just up front, and oh, this was wonderful, look at this. And so in front of the whole ship, my wife goes, puff, 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 down. She says, come, we're going. I loved her for it. A wife of noble character is worth more than rubies. She says, come, Nicole, we're going to go play outside. And she was like, okay. And I'll never forget, we were sitting around with a whole bunch of people, and they were, because they kind of knew us now, right? Kind of a statement. We're sitting down with a whole bunch of people, and there's one quiet little lady, Christian lady, and people will go, hey, so what was that all about? And she said, you know, she said, like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman who shows no discretion. She just quoted a proverb. Everyone went quiet and goes, yeah, that's pretty much it. A gold ring and a pig's snout is a beautiful woman who has no discretion. Now, that was a bit rebukey. I'm not saying we have to rebuke people with scriptures. What I am saying is, in many, many times when we've been at dinners, especially with business people, and they say something, I go, you know, that's what Jesus said. And then I just tell them the scripture. Oh, wow, is it? Yeah, you track in with Jesus. So it behooves you and me to get into the scriptures. Because when the Spirit of grace uses the sword of the Spirit, grace and truth flow into our lives. The Spirit of grace uses the sword of the Spirit. It releases grace and truth into our lives. So if all you have to do is respond to the Holy Spirit, sometimes he's going to say, tell them that story, your testimony. Sometimes he's going to say, offer to pray for them. And sometimes he's going to say, just tell them the scripture. Because you and I all know that sometimes when somebody just says a scripture, that'll sit and the Holy Spirit says, thank you, job well done. And now for the next 2 weeks, I'm just going to work that scripture in their spirit. I'm going to wake them up at 3 a.m. with that scripture resounding in their spirit. I'm going to confirm that scripture through the radio when they turn on and they're flipping channels and they get past it, and that scripture is going to be on the radio. Thanks for partnering with me. Well done. Let the message of Christ, the Bible says, dwell in you richly. A rich deposit of the message of Christ. Rich deposit of the message of Christ among us, that you is plural. Let a rich deposit of the message about Christ dwell among you as you teach and admonish one another. And you sing psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude. If we want to be always prepared, wisdom suggests that we have the Scriptures dwell in us richly. Let me close. Three things, very practical. They're right here. You don't have to learn another thing. You don't have to go another place. They're right within your grasp. God has equipped you. He has given you the tools. Right now, if you would just use them, you'll experience His power. Sometimes the church is still gazing at the clouds. Men of Norcross, why do you gaze into the sky? Because Jesus is coming back on the cloud. Yeah, but he said in the meantime, you should go and give testimony, be a witness to all the world. Yeah, but if I take my eyes off the cloud, you think He's still going to come back? Yeah, He's not going to come back until you go. When you go, one day He'll come back. Promise you won't miss it. The whole earth will see it. You have a testimony. In fact, you have 1,000 testimonies. And if you don't know, if you don't have any of your own stories, there are 5 categories of testimonies back there. You can just go and read and read and read. These are people like you and me who've just taken the time to write down some of their stories in those books. Fantastic, beautiful, supernatural explosions of the kindness of God. I don't know what testimony. Go pick some there. Well, can I use them? Yeah, say, hey, guy in our church, let me tell you his story. So what happened? 3 months ago. Pray for people. Be praying for the people that you're wanting to say, God, give me a door. Because you put me under orders. I have to do it with gentleness and respect and with a clear conscience. So I'm not going to force the door down. Transformation is what God wants. And He'd love to use you. Holy Spirit loves using you. And I promise you, if you'll be bold enough to respond, you'll love being used. What an absolute joy it is to see salvation, the light of God, light up in somebody's eyes. What a gift. What a gift. And as the Scripture says, he or she who wins souls, they're going to be called wise. That's a wise use of your time and mine. Let's pray. Lord, what can we say but thank you? Thank you for the sheer volume of your kindnesses to us, Lord. Sheer numbers of your beauty and of your grace. And of your patience. And Lord, if that wasn't enough, you've blown a fresh wind across our church of saying, taste and see. I want you to be established. I want this foundation stone to be laid here at Northlands. Taste and see and be grounded in the truth that God is always beautifully, amazingly good. And then go and tell people. So Father, I pray in Jesus' name for an increase of your kindness and your love and your goodness manifested in our life and an increase of boldness on us to go and tell people. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.